الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وسندنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحج أشهر معلومات، فمن فرض فيهن الحج فلا رفث ولا فسوق ولا جدال في الحج، وما تفعلوا من خير يعلمه الله، وتزودوا فإن خير الزاد التقوى، واتقون يا أولي الألباب. صدق الله العظيم. Respected elders and friends, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, it is only the favor and fazl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has spared us and He has granted us life to witness another yet auspicious day, day of Jumu'ah, regarding which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, خَيْرُ يَوْمٍ طَلَعَتْ عَلَيْهِ الشَّمْسُ يَوْمُ الْجُمُعَةِ, that the best day upon which the sun has risen is the day of Jumu'ah. So like how a Muslim normally, we understand when it comes to Eid al-Fitr, Eid al-Adha, how people wait in anticipation of that day, and how we wait and look forward for the coming of that day. Even more than that, a person and a true Muslim will look forward to the day of Jumu'ah. وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ, that person who reveres and who respects the sacred signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is a sign of taqwa and piety. And one of these are the days of Jumu'ah. So much so that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that the day of Jumu'ah is even more virtuous and is greater in position in the eye of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the two Eids. Alhamdulillah, together with it being a Mubarak day, we all know that we are in Mubarak months, and that is the month of Hajj. And as time passes and as we near Dhul Hijjah, we find that the Hujjaj, they prepare to leave. Many have left, and there are those that are still about to leave and depart. This journey of Hajj and undertaking this ibadat, there are many things that it comprises of. And the actual Hajj commences, in fact, from the time that a person makes that intention that I am going for Hajj. From that time, that preparation has to commence, and you will start making tayari, and you will see to it that now he will find out, he will start doing his, so to say, homework, and he will prepare himself that how he can acquire that knowledge and how he can bring into his possession and how he can pack those things that will make it easy for him once he reaches Makkah al-Mukarramah and Madinah Munawwara when he goes on his safar of Hajj. And that preparation will commence and it will continue for some time, and you will find out if it's going to be his first time, then you will ask those who have been before that, what should I take, what will I need there? And then as the date draws near for him to leave, then family, friends will meet him. Those that are closer to him, they will meet him at the house, and then they will meet him in the masjid also, and even right up to the airport they will accompany him. Those that were some acquaintances of his, friends of his, then they will come to the home and meet him. Maybe they won't accompany him to the airport. And then there will be those who, they will just be there at the masjid and they will see that certain person is being met, or they just know him on the surface, they will meet him there, they will make mu'anaqa with him, and that will be it. This person will continue on his journey, he will go for Hajj, not knowing what to anticipate once he reaches there. En route, if he remembers that certain thing I was supposed to bring, I have forgotten to bring it, and he knows it will be too late. Once he reaches there, whatever arrangements he has made, whether it be with agents or in whatever form, for whatever hotel, whatever he had booked, whatever accommodation he had chosen, then, inshallah, generally you will receive that. And as time goes, different type of condition will come upon this person. Either sometimes a person will notice that after some days will pass, he realizes maybe he did not bring enough money, and now he will be in a position where he finds himself that he has to make sabr, he becomes pareshan, he becomes a bit concerned. And then out of the blue, maybe he meets some relative, or he phones home, and somebody from here either puts money into the bank, or somehow money is sent to him. How happy that person becomes, that alhamdulillah, you know, my mamla, my masala is solved. Sometimes a person took enough money, and he had a lot of money with him. He was happy, he was content, and he felt that, no, inshallah, I'll be okay. And it so happened that it was a test for him, or whatever the condition, whatever the situation may be, all that money, whatever he brought, was taken away. How grieved that person becomes, how parishan, how much of anxiety. Then a person will go on to the 5 days of Hajj, a person will don the ihram, and he will go through the different days of Hajj, and when he makes his umrah, his first umrah, he will make tawaf, and then he will make sa'i between Safa and Marwa. Then you will proceed to Arafah. When you will go to Arafah, you will see there the people will be begging and crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking for forgiveness. All of us know this, but Hazrat Shaykh Mawlana Zakariya rahmatullah alayh was a very great buzurg of his time, and he had written the kitab Fadail al-Hajj. He mentions that this whole ibadat of Hajj, there is nothing in it except a person, if he ponders and reflects over it, then every step there is that resemblance between Hajj and Maut and between death. That from here a person has to prepare that I am going to undertake a journey and I have to take that which is beneficial for me on the other side, in Barzakh. And a person will make that tayari. And what a person, if a person doesn't take, he doesn't prepare for it here, he will not find it on the other side. And like that, when a person passes away, just as in when a person is going for Hajj, some of the friends will meet him at home, some will meet him at the masjid, some will meet him at the airport. Like that, when a person will pass away, some will be present for the janazah salah in the masjid. Some will come home to see the janazah. And there will be someone, those few, and those who are related and close to him, close friends, will accompany him to the qabristan. Like that, if you continue, that when that person went, he will realize that whatever he had taken with him will be of benefit for him. That if a person, for example, on those days when he is walking, certain people, they carry a small torch or whatever it is, so that will help them in those nights when it is dark and they need a bit of light. Like that, if a person saw to it that his Quran Sharif Tilawat was up to standard, and for example, a person was reciting Suratul Mulk every night, then in the qabr also there will be that nur and there will be that light. As a person will go and you will don the two ihram, then we know that the dressing of the mayat is similar, just those few pieces of white cloth. And when a person will go and he goes and he performs and he goes into those days of Hajj, then what else is there? That the person goes and he makes that sa'i. Hazrat Mawlana mentioned that sa'i will be like on the day of Qiyamah, that when a person will be running helter-skelter, looking for some a'mal when he is short, how he will go. In the ayat of the Quran, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَوْمَ يَخْرُجُونَ مِنَ الْأَجْدَاثِ كَأَنَّهُمْ جَرَادٌ مُنْتَشِرٌ. That on that day people will look as though they are like locusts. They will emerge from their graves running helter-skelter because of their concern that what is happening. So that sa'i gives us that lesson that how a person has to just go up and down. And then the person, sometimes you say we find a condition where a person, he takes too little and he doesn't have sufficient money there with him, and somebody sends some money for him, like that those that have passed away. When a person reads, some relative reads and sends and make isal sawab, how happy that person in the qabr gets, that certain person now, he has sent me something that is of value for me in this place. And on the other hand, Allah Ta'ala save us, that person who had a lot of currency, but when he went there, he saw that somebody had taken away everything of his. When a person will go on the day of Qiyamah, and he will see all his actions, and then because he had made ghibat of certain person, because he had spoken ill of certain person, because he had committed zulm and oppression on a certain person, then this person sees that slowly his a'mal are being taken away. And then if a person does not have enough currency, he doesn't have enough good actions where he can repay those people, then Allah Ta'ala save us. In the hadith it is mentioned that the bad deeds of those people who had done down, the bad deeds of those people will be put onto this person, either because he made ghibat, either because it can even be a person's wife sometimes, that a person, he treats her that he feels that, no, Allah Ta'ala has sent her here for my service only, and I am some kind of a tyrant. Or it can be any other banda or bandi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that now on that day will be yawmul jaza. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will mention in the hadith that that person who is oppressed, he will definitely be assisted, even though it may be after some time. So just like how that person will be parishan, Hajj teaches us that how will a person feel if all his wealth is taken away in that foreign land. It's not every time a person is able to get access and gain extra wealth, but on the day of Qiyamah, then there will be no turning back. Then no matter how much of Hajj a person made, no matter how much of Ibadat a person made, but if a person's relationship with his fellow Muslims and those around him were not correct, then this person, all his amal will be washed away. As we go forward, and we see that when a person comes to the end of Hajj, and he comes to Arafah, which is the highlight of Hajj, that 9 day, where everyone is before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he's begging of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, then on the day of Qiyamah, on Mahshar, every person will be begging from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No person will know what his condition will be. Every person will want to be forgiven. And in that place where every person, in the attire of every person, is that a person has to have those two cloths. The person can be holding the highest position in the government. The person can have certain qualifications and degrees behind his name. But there nobody knows him. In those millions of people, nobody even looks at him, turns an eye towards him. Maybe in his place or his country, he was looked up with respect. People wouldn't talk to him. Maybe if he was a person who used to command a lot of authority, and sometimes in a wrongful way, that people used to be afraid to talk to him, then nobody will even worry about him. He'll be pushed from side to side. That person's eyes will open up and he will realize that I am nothing. On the day of Qiyamah, before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nobody will be anything. Everybody will be left to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So much so that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that a person must strive to do good and show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I want to be from those who will be put into Jannah. But in the end, it will only be the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that will prevail and will put a person into Jannah. This is one great lesson that Hazrat Shaykh Mawlana Zakariya rahmatullah alayhi had drawn our attention to, that a person should ponder over this death, that when a person, it is not necessary that a person has to go for Hajj, then only a person has to ponder over this, rather over this whole spectacle of Hajj. If a person ponders, then he will gain that understanding that I am also going to leave from here. And if a person was told that now, for example, some relative or through some, alhamdulillah, sawuk, maybe opens it up again, or whatever it is, and a certain person, somebody says, okay, we are preparing and you can go for Hajj now, that person has a very short time to prepare. How will that person behave? Every day he'll say, no, let me carry on, I still got at least about 1 week, 1-2 weeks. No, immediately he'll say that I'm going to be leaving. If I don't get those vaccinations, if I don't get certain things, certain requirements done, I don't get the visa, I don't get certain things, that person will become worried. But at least a person knows what date he's going to go when it comes to Hajj. But when it comes to leaving this world, when it comes to maut, no person can say, I know when I'm going to pass away. But when the time will come, there is one small difference. That the Haji, when he comes, when he books from here, many a time he'll book a return ticket. But when a person passes away, then there is no return ticket. So this is the first great lesson that Hajj gives us. That how a person prepares for Hajj, similarly, and even more importantly, and in a more vigorous manner, a person has to prepare for their life after death. And the other very important point which, and other resemblance which Hajj has, and makes a person understands, is that when it comes to Hajj, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us something. A very important thing, which unfortunately today, because of the environment, because of the literature we read, and because sometimes of our own pride, that we feel that, no, we have become very educated, we are very educated, and I am an intellectual, I can understand, and I have certain qualifications, I'm not a stupid person, I can understand. Then what happens is a person begins to question. Begins to question everything. But Hajj teaches us that if a person has to ask a person in ihram, that why are you wearing these two pieces of cloth? why aren't you dressing like the normal way that you dress at home? And this person will say that because this is the way Hajj is to be done, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed this. Say, okay, but why are you going to Mina on the 8th? Why you don't just wait a little bit and, you know, you can go on some other day, just go one day late. Say, no, Hajj won't be done, then you won't be right. Say, but why? Say, no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said on the 8th. And why on Arafah only on the 9th? Why it can't be on the 10th? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything, why a person has to read, the question, the answer to that why is, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is His command. Why a person is going around the Kaaba 7 times? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do it that way. Why around the Kaaba? Why not around all the other masajid? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants it like that. Like that, why a person has to perform his salah? Why a person has to dress in the Islamic way? That is because Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam want it. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we all know, is Hakim. And there can be no other wise that than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every piece of wisdom emanates from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no wisdom besides the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who are we to question the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a command, Allah loves that it be obeyed. That is the sign of a slave. That tomorrow if we got an employer, we must think about it in our this thing. That we say, okay, you know what, just put certain thing in this place or do this. He asks you why. You say, you're working for me, I'm working for you. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is our Malik. Allah is our Khalik. Allah is our Rabb. And it's not the other way around. So, Shaitan, it is his plan that he will put different types of thoughts and whisperings in a person's mind that this is deen and why must I do this? Is this necessary? When Sahaba found out what is Sunnah, they didn't find out what is Sunnah so that, oh, it's only Sunnah so we don't have to do it. Sahaba found out what is Sunnah so that I will never leave this action out for the rest of my life. But unfortunately today, what happens is this farz wajib? It's Sunnah. Oh, it's Sunnah. So, na'uzu billah, is a Sunnah something that is small? Just to mention one Sahabi, he was eating with some very influential people after the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ghaliban. And he was eating with them, and it is a sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that when a morsel of food falls from the plate or falls onto the side, then that food shouldn't be thrown away. It should be picked up. If there's any dirt or any dust that collected, clean it and eat it. This Sahabi, Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu anhu, he does so. A person next to him nudged him or whatever and told him that, you know, there are certain people here people who are very affluent and they are sitting here, you know, why are you behaving like this? So he said, أَأَتْرُكُ سُنَّةَ حَبِيبِي لِهَاوُلَاءِ الْحَمْقَى. That should I leave the sunnah of my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for these fools? Because when a person will go on the day of Qiyamah before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wallah, no other lifestyle will be accepted besides the lifestyle of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq of amal wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.